Bridge building, Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. Let's read this and then we'll pray and see what God has for us. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Father, we just come before you this morning, Lord, with hearts that are eager to learn. Lord, we ask by your Holy Spirit to come and give us understanding of your word so we can be doers of it. God, we want to apply these things to our lives. And you have just told us that we are blessed, or blessed as the person who is a peacemaker. So Lord, show us how to live that out in our life. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Let's define peace this morning. Peace is defined as calm, tranquility, stillness, harmony, all the things you enjoy in your life 24/7, right? Peace. Peace is to freedom from quarreling or disturbance. The lake looks peaceful because there's no ripples in it. It's smooth. It's just wonderful. Peace is a gift from God. So with the verse we've looked at, Jesus saying, blessed is the peacemaker, for they'll be called children of God. And we've seen the definition of peace. We must first learn, I want us to look at this in kind of two different places. We'll start off first by looking at God and then kind of transitioning to the application of how to be a peacemaker. First of all, we need to understand that God is peace. Amen? God is peace. If God is able to give peace, then he must have a resource of that. Now, you and I, we possess things. God doesn't just possess peace. He is peace. That's why whenever there's a time of difficulty in our life, whenever we're finding quarreling or disturbance or non-tranquility, we can turn to God, who is peace. And he reveals himself to us, and in the midst of revealing himself to us, we experience peace. He doesn't give us peace and walk away. He gives us himself. Amen? We've experienced that, right? God revealing himself, giving himself to us, and in the midst of us receiving who he is, we get peace because God is peace. And since God lives inside of the believer, therefore you and I are to be people that seek peace. If God is peace and God dwells in us, the newborn believer, the born again believer, the Spirit of God lives and dwells inside of us. Amen? Do we believe that this morning? The Holy Spirit dwells inside of you as a believer. You are holy, just as holy as the Holy of Holies in the Old Testament in the temple. But you are holy and you have peace inside of you because God dwells inside of you. Therefore, you and I need to be people that seek peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. They will be associated to the family of God. They'll be associated with God, just as a father gives to his children, a mother gives to her children certain traits and characteristics. Our Heavenly Father has given to us himself, and we live with that same DNA, that same Holy Spirit dwells inside of us, and you and I are to be seek peacers. We are to be building bridges towards reconciliation in whatever circumstance. We'll talk about the practicalities in a minute, but you have peace inside of you. If you believe that, say amen. So the question is, how are we get that peace out of us and to be peacemakers? Jesus says you're blessed when you make peace. You may not feel blessed, but you are blessed. You may not feel blessed because of what's going on around you. There might be that big storm going on and uncertainty and all these chaos and all this stuff going on. You may not say, I'm not going to feel peace, but you have peace inside of you because God has given to you a peace of himself. No pun intended. It's interesting. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but next week, it's interesting because next week we'll be seeing how Jesus says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness. He just got in saying, You're blessed if you're a peacemaker. And then if you're, you know, under persecution, you're blessed. This is going to be, this is a very interesting dynamic of how do we walk in peace and yet and not get ran over all the time? Or is that what God wants? Does God want us to be a doormat for everybody? I mean, if we're supposed to be seeking peace. And so let's define that this morning. Let's look at that. And let's, are you ready for this? Because when you leave here today, you have to be peacemakers. If you're going to be a doer of the word, when you leave here today, you cannot cause any strife this week at work. Your home life will be amazing. You'll be, it'll be, it'll just be great. Your marriage will be awesome because there'll be peace. Some of you are ready for this. Listen closely. Peacemakers are not people who ignore what is going on around them. Peacemakers are not people that ignore what is going on around them. And sometimes that's how we define peace, isn't it? We see, you know, a quarreling going on over here, and we just take our head and we stick it in the sand and say, oh, I'm just gonna leave it alone. I'm not going to get involved. Peace. Now, there are different personalities that God has given to us. And I've studied them out. There, people do different ways to try to explain the different personalities that we all have. And one of those types of people is the peace person. Like, they just want calm. They want everybody to be happy. They're the people that when you say, hey, where do you want to go out to eat? They say, I don't care. Where do you want to go? You know, they don't want to make a decision because they don't want to cause any strife. They just want peace. But a peacemaker is a person that does not ignore what is going on around them, including when there's you know, chaos. They step in and get involved. They are people who get involved for the purpose of making peace. Obviously, if they're peacemakers. But some people get involved in the quarrel or in the strife for the purpose of stirring things up or for their own agenda. They see an argument over there. Some people run because they just want peace. They just want to ignore it, out of sight, out of mind. Some people see the fight and they say, ooh, I'm going to get involved. And they start throwing in their agenda or they start stirring the pot. Now, when I first got married to my wife, Cheryl, thank you. I know your name. I don't remember if it was right after we got married or in the courting phase or whatever, but I remember telling her, hey, just, you know, FYI about me, whenever we get into an argument, my goal is not to resolve the argument. My goal is to just keep it going. Just kind of push your buttons. I mean, that's just who I am. That's who I was. I'm not there anymore. I've matured. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes. But if there's strife, if there's this, well, you know, this argument going on, you know, it's just like, well, yeah, but what about, you know, and I'll pull stuff that doesn't have anything to do with the conversation just to watch her go, ah. Or she said, that just frustrates me when you do that. Well, really? This is kind of fun for me, you know, make some popcorn, watch the show, you know, and, you know, I'm not saying that's the right thing to do because it's probably not, but that's just kind of my personality. You know, I don't mind a strong debate. I don't mind, well, what about this and what about that? Today in my Sunday school class on how to study the Bible, we're looking at the process of different types of studying, and one process of studying the Bible is to do a word study. And so I asked the question, we just did a survey of Colossians, just to get in that process. And I asked the question, is anger a sin? Now, some of you already have your, well, yes, it is. No, it's not. And we looked at Colossians and we looked at Ephesians. If you lay them side by side, yeah, kind of seems like there's a contradiction in the Bible. But we know the Bible can't contradict itself. So we began this study of, well, what about this? What about that? And I told the class before we started, I might say things today just to keep the discussion going. I may not believe them. I just want to get this discussion going. And they were diving into concordances and diving into dictionaries and looking up verses and cross-referencing. And it was a good discussion. And they're supposed to study out this week. So next week, we'll all know whether or not anger is a sin. But some people ignore strife because they think it's peace. Some people get involved in conflict because they want to, you know, it's a power play thing. They just want to get their agenda done. They want to get their two cents in, and they're not there to make peace. But Jesus said, blessed is the peacemaker. If you're a peacemaker, it means you go into a situation where there is not peace and you make peace. You go into a situation where there is not peace and you make peace. You don't avoid it. You don't ignore it. You step in and you make peace. Now, if you work with children, you get a lot of opportunities to make peace. We have lots of opportunities in All-Star Kids to make peace. Well, so-and-so did this, and they did this, and they fight. Whenever they play Foursquare, it's like chaos every time. It hit the line. It did not hit the line. And Jason, Pat, you know, whatever. And we just like, you know, we have to come into a situation. We have to make peace. We can't ignore it. So the question is this morning, just think about yourself in the last year. Are you a peacemaker or are you not? You step into a situation and bring peace. You have peace in you. The Spirit of God dwells inside of you. People confront you over a certain situation. How do you respond to them? Are you making peace with them? Or do you stand your ground? Get all excited. Get all ready for the fight. Are you a peacemaker or not? Judges chapter 22, or chapter 6, verse 20 through 22, says Gideon's out there doing his thing. Angel of the Lord shows up. He's actually in hiding. And it says this: when Gideon realized that it was an angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, "Alas, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." But the Lord said to him, "Peace, do not be afraid. You are not going to die." How many here this morning would say that would bring peace to your life? Because the thought was, if I see God, I will die, for no man has seen God and lived. And here is an angel of the Lord. We've never seen angel. I've never seen a literal angel. I've seen the drawings of cute little angels with these little, you know, wings, and they're just so fluffy and everything. But whenever you read about angels in the Bible, it got a reaction that wasn't, "Oh, that's cute. How adorable." I mean, there's fear, men and women shaken to their souls, falling on the ground in fear and trembling before Almighty God. Gideon sees this angel, and the angel said, and he's freaking out. "Alas, sovereign Lord," like, "Oh my goodness, I'm about ready to die." And the angel says, "Peace, do not be afraid, you're not going to die." So Gideon built an altar to the Lord and called it, "The Lord is Peace." The Lord is peace. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe in the depths of your heart that the Lord is peace? Because if you believe that God is peace, then whenever there are times of difficulty, whenever your heart is unsettled, you will run to God. Gideon built a place of worship and worshiped there as God, as peace. It's one of the things I enjoy about coming to church is, and I know that God just doesn't dwell in this building, but there is peace here. Coming into the presence of God, whether it's in my office or a time of prayer, yesterday, I just had some worship music going on in here. I sat out in the chairs and just sat in the presence of God, in the peace of God. God is peace. We see this in Matthew chapter 4. Flip in your Bibles to, Mark chapter 4. So we've seen that God is peace. We've seen that Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers." Let's read a story that I'm sure you're familiar with, where Jesus, who is God in the form of the likeness of man, shows that he has peace. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, it's Jesus, he said, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, that means storm, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, in the boat, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Now, how many here see a picture of peace in the midst of a storm? We see Jesus. Where's he at? He's in the boat. And these aren't big, you know, big boats. These aren't like carnival cruiser boats. He's in the boat. He's on a cushion, and he's sleeping in the midst of a storm. Or the disciples, who are trained fishermen, they know how to handle the waves. They know how to navigate the boat. They are in fear of their life. There's a distinct difference when we walk in our own flesh and our own energy and our own abilities in the midst of a storm, Jesus, God in the form of man, is at peace. He's not afraid of death at all. He's not concerned that they're going to get to the other side. Let's go to the other side, get in the boat, we're going to go. He sits back, takes a nap. The storm comes, the disciples are freaking out. They're waking up Jesus. Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Verse 39, he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. Some translations say, peace, be still. In the midst of the storm, Jesus got up and said, peace, be still, calm, be still. Because he has authority over nature, he had that ability to do that. And he calmed it. And how many of you think here this morning that peace filled the hearts of those disciples? Absolutely. They go from fear and terror that we're going to die to now at peace. Why? Because God is peace. This morning you might find yourself in a boat that's kind of rocky because of the storms of life. God's not worried. God is your peace. Go to him. Go to God. He'll deal with the situation. He will bring the storm to an end. He will bring peace into your heart. And even if the waves are still rolling around, you can be like Jesus in the midst of the storm, having complete peace. We see this many times over and over again in the Old Testament with David. Read the Psalms. David, whose heart is at anguish, the enemies are attacking him. He's in fear of his life, but he lays down and sleeps at night. And he gets up in the morning refreshed. Why is he able to sleep at night? Because God is his peace. We know what it's like to have a restless night where you can't sleep. We know what it's like when you're trying to you make a decision or there's a circumstance at work and there's anxiety in your heart and there's not peace there. And you lay in bed and you just look at the ceiling and you're just like, oh, you know, you try to, you know, you're not at peace enough to go to sleep, but you're not awake enough to get up and go do anything. You're just like there. We know what that's like. But Jesus slept in the midst of the storm because he is peace. 1 Timothy chapter 3, I keep saying this today. 1 Timothy chapter 2, these are on your handout, verses 3 through 5. Tell us this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed at the proper time. So God is peace. Jesus has revealed that even to us. And Jesus becomes our peace between us and God. Because of sin, we were at odds with God. And Christ Jesus has come and he has been the ransom for us, taken our place on the cross. And now we are at peace with God. We've accepted Christ into our life. If you're a believer here this morning, a true believer, you've really committed your life to God. You've really confessed of your sins. I'm talking about more than just some prayer you said one time. I'm talking about the life that says I'm submitted to God. God's Spirit comes and dwells inside of you. And now you are a person of peace within you because God dwells inside of you. Romans chapter 14 says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of peace. Blessed is the peacemaker, for they will be called children of God. They will be associated with God, for the kingdom of God itself is a kingdom of righteousness and peace. So when you walk into a certain situation, and you respond with peace, you're walking in the kingdom. The kingdom is being expanded through you because you are bringing peace to that situation. You can bring peace to a person who's hurting or a person that's in need. You can go talk to them and speak life to them, reveal God to them. They have peace in their life. That's the kingdom. You're walking out the kingdom when you're walking out in peace. Romans 16:20 says, "The God of peace," and I love this, listen closely, "the God of peace will soon crush Satan." That's a pretty peaceful God, isn't he? Think about that for a second. The God is peace, God is love. But we all know that fluff love is not really love at all. There's true love, and there's peace. And our peaceful God is so peaceful that he's going to crush Satan. He's going to destroy the works of the enemy. Amen? God is peace. He brings peace into our situations, into our storms in our life, whenever we go to him, whenever we turn to him. The disciples could have let Jesus sleep in that boat and kept rowing and paddling and doing all their stuff and not had peace. But whenever they turn to Christ, they experience peace. James chapter 3 tells us, verse 17, "But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace." The wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, and then peace. So when you walk in peace, guess what? You're walking in kingdom wisdom. You're walking not according to the ways of this world, but according to heavenly ways. You're walking the way that you're designed to walk as a person that has the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you. But when you and I don't respond with peace, chances are we're not walking after the wisdom of heaven. One of the verses I want to look at, Romans chapter 12, and then I'm going to give you five things today that you can do in your life to help you walk in peace, to help you be a peacemaker. Five practical applications that you can do and live and apply to your life so you can this week, today, when you leave here, you can start walking in peace. And it comes from this verse. Go with me to Romans chapter 12, verse 17. Romans chapter 12. Verse 17. Romans 12, 17 says, "Do not repay anyone evil for evil." What? That's in the Bible? I guess it is. Do not repay anyone. Anyone? But what about my brother or my sister? No? What about the person I really don't like? No, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. That's a very interesting verse, by the way. Do what's right in the eyes of everybody. Go figure out what that means. That's what Jesus said, right? Go and learn what this means. Verse 18. "If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." As much as it depends upon you, some translations say, live at peace with everyone. So there is for us the springboard into how to be a peacemaker. God is peace. God dwells inside of us. God has given to us his peace. We've come to him. And as far as it depends upon me, I need to live at peace with everyone, even my enemies, to my best friend, to my children, to my wife. I need to be at peace with everybody, as far as it depends upon me. Now, we all know that not everybody is going to like everything that you do. So how do you respond to that? Jesus, we looked at this last week, when the disciples said, "Jesus, you offended them with what you said," did he be like, "Oh, let me go off there and tell them I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you. I didn't mean to call you a brood of vipers. It slipped." The gospel, we know, is confrontational. The gospel doesn't bring peace. In fact, Jesus said it. "I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. Brother against brother. Son against father. Father against son." Some of you have experienced that division. If you've come from a home that wasn't a Christian home and you got saved and your way of living changes and your convictions change because you're a new person in Christ, You're living for the kingdom. God is living in you. And now you have this thing called light and darkness, and it's clashing, and that's not always peaceful. So as far as it depends upon you, you need to live at peace. Five simple things. Number one, you need to walk in love. Write these on the back of your note, on your notes, if you would. Number one, walk in love. Love is simply serving with a pure motive. Walk in love. How can I be a peacemaker this week? Jesus said, I'm blessed if I'm a peacemaker. How can I do that? Walk in love. Number two, offer repentance and grant forgiveness. How can I be a peacemaker? Offer forgiveness whenever you need to repent. Offer repentance and grant forgiveness. If you need to repent, go repent. Go make peace. But it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. I know. Go make peace. I don't want to forgive him. I don't care. Forgive him. But it's hard. I know. Blessed is the peacemaker. Make peace. As far as it depends upon you, repent and forgive. Number three, keep your tongue under control. If you want to be a peacemaker, you got to keep your tongue under control. Now, when I tell my wife, hey, whenever we get into an argument, my goal isn't to finish the argument. My goal is just to have fun. That's not keeping control over my tongue. I'm going to give you three verses for this. Proverbs chapter 25, Proverbs 26, verse 20. Write this underneath there. Keep your tongue under control. Proverbs 26, 20. It states, without wood, a fire goes out. Without a gossip, a quarrel dies down. If you want the quarreling to stop, shut your mouth. Now, some of us like to get the last word in, don't we? And that is my wife's little hidden sin. She'll admit it. She likes to get that last word in. She'll be walking out of the room and you hear, roo, 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 roo. And what was that? And then here we go again. Proverbs 15, verse 4 says, the soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. You know, the whole thing that words don't hurt, we all know that's a lie. Words hurt deep. If you're a peacemaker, your words will be soothing words that will bring life to a person, not destroy them. The last verse for this, Proverbs 16, verse 28. A perverse person stirs up conflict. A perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends. If you want to be a peacemaker this week, keep a tight rein on your tongue. Be careful of the words that come out of your mouth. Number four, are you with me? Number four, be patient and self-controlled. Be patient and self-controlled. Peace cannot be forced upon a situation. We see this in the Middle East. You cannot force peace into a situation. You need to have patience in the way you respond to people. If you're trying to bring peace to a certain situation, you need to be patient. You need to be self-controlled. Proverbs 18, verse 17 says, the first one to answer seems right until the second person shows up. We see this with our kids, right? Well, they hit me, they hit me, they hit me, they hit me. Person walks in, did you hit them? Yes. What'd they do first? They bit me. Ah, now I understand what's going on. We hear stuff. We want to jump to a conclusion. We want to jump into that midst of that quarreling and that strife because we heard one side. No, we want to be patient. We need to hear both sides if we're going to bring peace to a certain situation. Number five, the last one. Remove, and this is the hardest one, remove and avoid the mocker or the gossiper. Remove them, avoid them. Two verses, Proverbs chapter 22, verse 10. Proverbs 22:10 says, drive out the mocker and out goes the strife. Quarrels and insults are ended. drive out the mocker. And guess what? You have peace. Proverbs 26, verse 21. As charcoal to embers and as wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome person for kindling strife. You might have a coworker that you can't avoid who just likes to stir the pot. He's just causing problems, or she's causing problems everywhere they go. Every time they talk, they're just stirring stuff up. You need to bring peace to that situation. God is peace. That means you need to bring God into that situation. But God, in the gospel, is not always peaceful to people because they reject it. So as far as it depends upon you, you live at peace with them, which means I am not going to put myself in certain situations where I cannot make peace. If I know this individual is going to cause strife and problems and stuff, I'm just not going to be with them. As far as it depends upon me and my responsibility with who I am. In other words, don't ever be the reason there is not peace in your situation. That's what that means. As far as it depends upon you, don't ever let there be a reason why you are the reason that there is strife. You need to live with that peace that God has given to you. Hopefully, these five things, walking in love, offering repentance, and granting forgiveness, keep your tongue under control, be patient and self-controlled, remove and avoid the mocker or the gossiper. I want to close this morning by reading Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21, because it's a great prayer. It's a thing for us to hopefully be encouraged this morning. And after I read this, and I just want to give you some time in your seats just to reflect upon today's sermon. And maybe as the Holy Spirit has spoken to you during the sermon, maybe you have been causing strife and you need to deal with that today. Maybe you're finding yourself in the midst of a storm and you need to go to God today as your peace and let Him speak to that situation. Maybe you are finding yourself in a certain situation that seems so out of control and there's no way peace could ever be there. And this morning, you just need to begin to ask God to move in that situation, knowing that He will use you, probably, to bring peace to that certain situation. Blessed are the peacemakers. You'll be blessed when you bring peace, when you bring God into that certain situation. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. Just close your eyes this morning. This is the writer of Hebrews. This is his prayer. He says, Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing His will. And may He work in us what is pleasing to Him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Father, this morning, God, we just take a moment and ask You to search our hearts. Lord, we want You to equip us, Lord, to do that which is pleasing in Your sight. So God, I know, Lord, as the pastor of this church, God, I know that there are certain circumstances that are represented in this room where there is not peace. And I ask, God, for You to show up power and authority as the God of peace and bring peace to those circumstances. Lord, You are the God of peace. And You said, blessed are the peacemakers. You've equipped us with peace, Lord, and You've told us today that we need to go and be peacemakers. So we ask, God, that You, as the God of peace, would equip us for every good thing, which includes bringing peace. Father, I pray for those here this morning, God, that are in a circumstance where there is not peace. And I ask you, God, to move into their life and to bring peace to that circumstance. Lord, that there would not be anxiety, there would not be worry, there would not be fear, that God, there would be peace because you are there. God, you would speak peace to the storms that people are facing today. You would remove any anxiety or worry or doubt in the name of Jesus. You would come and bring peace. God, to those circumstances at work, Lord, or wherever it might be, where there is not peace, God, you have called us to be light in a dark world. And as a result, our actions will not always bring peace because righteousness is a stumbling block. Righteousness and shining forth that righteousness, God, causes people to respond. But Lord, you don't hold us accountable for other people's actions. You hold us accountable for our actions. And so, God, may we be peacemakers as much as it depends upon us walking in truth and love. But Lord, you said, blessed is the man, blessed is the woman who brings peace. So Lord, even with sharing the gospel, God, we can do it in a way that is not offensive just by us trying to make it offensive. Lord, I pray for the marriages that are represented in this church, or that the marriages would be marriages of peace. Lord, that when those unmet expectations happen, Lord, there would not be strife and quarreling. God, those things need to stop, and they need to stop today. Lord, I pray for every man, every husband as the head of their home, to stop the strife and to bring peace in that home. Lord, I pray for every family relationship, children, sibling, children to parents. God, I pray for peace in the home. Peace, God. We don't ignore circumstances, but we go to the circumstances to bring peace. Not to add our 2 cents, not to make it worse, but God, to bring peace. Lord, I know there are some here today that are looking for direction. You're leading them and guiding them. God, I pray for peace, Lord, in their hearts about the direction that you're leading them to go. Peace, God. That's how we know that we're walking with you, is because there's peace. When we step away from your will, when we step away from what you're telling us to do, there isn't peace. The Holy Spirit comes, and we get that check in our spirit, and we know we're not on the right track. So God, may we come back to you, the God of peace. Lord, lastly, I just pray for this church, that this church would bring peace to this city, to this community. Lord, we'd be peacemakers. People would know the God of peace because this church brings peace, not strife. But we don't go out looking for a fight. We don't go out looking for people to campaign against or stand against God. But we just walk in righteousness. As much as it depends upon us, Lord, we live at peace. Those that are offended by the gospel will be offended by the gospel. Those that are offended by correction will be offended by correction. But God, as much as it depends upon us, we will walk in peace. Lord, we say thank you for our time together this morning. Thank you for your presence here. Thank you for meeting with us, Lord. May we leave here today being peacemakers. Or may we really be intentional this week about looking for opportunities to bring peace in the circumstances and to see people be freed from shame and guilt and doubt and fear because peace is there, because you, the God of peace, is there. For we ask these things in your name. Amen.